Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, May 22nd. You know, once a week, we like to get together with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. We call it the Week in Review, and like always, there's a lot of week to review. We'll be talking about North Korea, the excellent speech by Secretary Pompeo about Iran, the opening of the embassy in Jerusalem, and the way that the violence was covered by some of the media was frankly disgraceful. I mean, they basically, well, they blamed it all on Israel, as they tend to be doing. This is frightening. I don't know if I should be frightened or if this is normal operations, but the FBI was apparently involved in the Trump campaign, or somebody from the FBI was in the Trump campaign getting information. I find that very, very difficult, and we need to get to the bottom of that, and I think we will. There's an ICG report coming out about the FBI. Probably won't make people like Mr. Comey very happy. President Trump seems to be doing okay with the economy. More and more polling data is saying that the American people actually support what he's doing, and this is probably one of the reasons that the GOP in general is looking better in the midterm elections. It's still 5 months away, so let's not get too excited one way or the other, but certainly today the Democrats are doing better. I mean, the Republicans are doing better, and one of the reasons, I think, is because the Democrats, many people in the Democrat Party, want to talk about impeachment rather than health care or issues, and I think that's starting to hurt Democrats. I think all this Russia stuff is also hurting Democrats. We have a runoff here in Texas today for governor, and, you know, the Yankees were in town last night, and I have a feeling that more people went to see the Yankees last night than will vote today at this runoff. So let me say hello to our friend Bill Katz. It's an absolutely beautiful day in Texas, and how is everything in New York, Bill?
Reasonable. We had a beautiful day yesterday. Today is less beautiful. You always know that because suddenly Al Gore appears at the subway station with the sandwich sign saying the end is nigh. So less beautiful.
Yes, lovely day here as well. I mentioned the Yankees are in town, and we have a runoff today. And, you know, whenever the Yankees come to town, there's big crowds everywhere they go. And we have a runoff, and I think more people went to that game last night that will vote today, Bill, or more people went to that game than voted in Venezuela. It's
certainly legitimate voters, yes.
That's right, yeah. That election in Venezuela, just want to touch on that for a second. I just saw that the Trump administration is imposing new sanctions. I hope they do and make them very tough, Bill.
Well, I hope they do, too. Now, of course, immediately there will be some who will twist it around and tell us that the sanctions are only hurting the peaceful people of Venezuela.
Right.
I mean, it's just amazing to remember that people like Sean Penn went down to Venezuela to praise the leadership of Hugo Chavez.
Right.
And now that the whole place is falling apart, these same people have lost interest. They move on. You've noticed the phrase, we're moving on, where they can destroy another country. But it is terrible what is happening there, and the lack of interest on the part of the American press is palpable. I don't know if any lessons will be learned, but one of the lessons we really do have to learn is to be very careful about the use of the word election. I mean, there are people going around saying, you know, well, the Iranian government is elected. No, they're not. You have an election system in Iran where the government has to approve of the candidates. That's not what I would call an election. And in Venezuela also, apparently, all kinds of obstacles were put up to a truly free election. I'm wondering also if there were international monitors who are going to tell us how wonderful things were. Remember when Jimmy Carter used to go down to Venezuela and tell us what a wonderful experiment in democracy this was? But I see they're staying home. They're waiting for their tickets to Gaza City.
Right, yeah. Well, in the case of Venezuela, the turnout was actually pretty bad. And I think that was a way of voting against the regime. So it's just going to get worse down there, and I hope President Trump really comes down very hard on sanctions. And speaking of sanctions, President, the Secretary of State, the new Secretary of State. We congratulate him. I think he had the job the last time we spoke, but we congratulate the CIA director. She was approved this week. But
sworn in.
The Secretary of State had a great speech about the Iran bill.
He did, and for the first time, really laid out a full program of what we need to get back on track with Iran and to bring Iran back into the civilized world. Of course, the speech was immediately attacked by the European Union. The European
right.
Union, the EU, really has to be brought under. They really have to be slapped, especially this woman who heads it, who, by the way, is an old veteran of the Italian Communist Party. And
right.
people don't realize that in Europe that kind of thinking is common. But she immediately attacked it and had no criticism of Iran, which is now becoming a frightening thing, that they actually sit down next to the foreign minister of Iran, representing one of the worst governments in the world, and have no problem with it. And the
right.
reason,
well,
of course,
I think the Europeans,
you know,
though, Bill, are going to eventually come to terms with the reality of some of these sanctions that the Secretary of State was talking about, because eventually, if they want to do business with Iran, they got to clear the check through a banking system that the U.S. has a lot of influence in. So they may
that
find
is absolutely true.
They may find that at some point, this opposition to the Iran nuclear deal may not actually help them do more business. I don't know, but I agree with you. I think it's pathetic. This lady who heads the EU, or I don't know if she's the head of the EU or the diplomatic representative.
Foreign policy spokeswoman.
Yeah, well, she's down in Cuba half of the time trying to see how to do business with Cuba. And so, I mean, I'm familiar with this lady. I'm not very impressed with her human rights record, Bill.
No. And what is also remarkable is how open it is now that the whole Iran deal is based on money, on Europeans doing business with Iran. And the Germans are the worst. They really are. I saw a chart just a few days indicating that...
I thought I lost you there for a minute, Bill, but
I wouldn't worry.
No problem. Good.
It's
actually Al Gore,
whatever.
Bill. He doesn't like what you say about his sandwich.
It's the flash situation where you get another
right,
call.
Right.
But I'm looking at who it is, and I don't want to talk to them anyway. So
okay.
leave a message.
It's Al Gore complaining that you don't give him a fair shot on the show.
I don't give him a fair shot, and he is going to bring me up and on charges before the global warming court, which is held in the basement of his house or one of
right,
his mansions.
Right.
You know, that he gets to on private jets. So,
right. And the global warming court, the temperature in the air conditioning is like 62. They keep
That's
it very
right.
cool.
Yes. Well, they say they have to be comfortable to fight our battles for us.
That's right.
So,
That's right.
What were we talking about?
We got distracted there by Al Gore. By Al Gore.
Yes.
No, you were talking about, we were talking about the Europeans are doing it all for money, and that this is becoming more and more apparent now that the whole deal was nothing but a money-making deal for the Europeans.
That's right, and they, you know, it's the old problem of Europe. You know, why do people put so much stake in what the Europeans think? You hear this all the time. Every time Trump does something, well, what do our European allies say? And my reply to that is, why should anybody care?
Right.
I mean, oh, yes, I was talking about a chart that I saw. This applies about the German military and the pathetic shape that it's in. It's just in pathetic shape. Now,
right.
at one time, that would have been something said with relief. You don't want them to get too strong again because they might become German. But I remember when Germany was reunified, there were people who were very concerned. They said, you know, are we doing the right thing here? But on balance, they've acted pretty responsibly, but they have not contributed to Western defense anywhere near the amount that their economy requires and that what their national budget requires. When the Cold War ended, they could not wait to disarm. And as a result, they have a military force that's hollow. When they sent German troops to Afghanistan to help in the war on terror, the rules of engagement for those troops were so bad, they weren't allowed really to do anything.
Right.
I believe they were. I think maybe they were allowed to supply a ham and egg sandwich to some to two people in the local population, and that was about it. But they were
of no military help. Oh, they were horrible. And I heard a joke, and I don't. It may not even be a joke, but I heard this. It sounded like a joke, but maybe it wasn't. Back in 2010, when some countries were talking about, you know, sending some troops to Afghanistan, that one of the military guys who was in charge of the airport security, said to the incoming troops, "We already have enough people to protect the airport. Okay, I don't need that.
Yes.
We already got
yes.
enough of those. We've already got enough people to protect the airport and to do traffic. I need
yes.
you to go out and do some real fighting, you know?" And,
right.
and unfortunately, that's – but the problem is that, of course, you know, you hear from the left, you know, well, Trump is upsetting our allies. Well, you know what? If upsetting our allies means you got to do your NATO contribution, well, I don't have a problem with that kind of upsetting. Explain that to the mothers of the U.S. soldiers who may have to go and fight to defend these countries. Explain to their mother that these countries don't want to put up what they're supposed to build.
That's exactly right, and I think Trump is now doing that, and he is handling things very well. I see that they are a little bit rattled by the North Korean sudden reversal of personality, which occurs regularly anyway, the mood swing of the little rocket man, who is now becoming difficult again. But the president will meet with the ambassador to from South not the ambassador but the prime minister
president,
of South
right?
Korea,
oh, prime
Moon
minister.
At the yes, and they will discuss the situation. The summit may not come off, and if it doesn't come off, and I think if the president gives a good explanation, saying we're just not going to go to any meeting just to have a meeting, the American people will back him. The Democrats will ridicule him. Christian Amanpour will appear on CNN to say he has fouled. He has fouled. He has fouled. You know, if this woman didn't have a British accent, she'd be an assistant typist. I mean, have you? It's embarrassing when they put her on. I think they're even embarrassed by her so-called commentaries. But, of course, she has a new show on NPR because she's Christian Amanpour. The reporting is so pathetic. You go to some of these networks, you go to the three major networks who have abandoned news really rather completely, and then you go to CNN, and what you get is an alternative universe. It's quite embarrassing. Fox is still pretty much in the game, in the news game, but I'm concerned about Fox because the new generation of the Murdoch family is taking over, and from what I hear, they are more liberal than the father's
right.
generation, and I wonder what will happen to Fox. It may be that we have had the last stand of conservative journalism, although there is still Sinclair, and there are still the Wall Street Journal, which has a good conservative editorial page. But I think that the slant in journalism has become so bad that what people are doing is, you know, people who think rationally and maturely are going to the Internet for their news. And
right,
thank goodness
right.
for the Internet. The Internet may have saved America.
Well, that's true. And there are also alternative networks that will – I mean, look, there's always going to be a conservative – I mean, if Fox were to, let's say, go become another CNN, I think there's enough of a market to create another network. In fact, I heard the other
yes.
day that Bill O'Reilly's talking to Newsmax about doing his show on Newsmax and in essence building up that network. But on North Korea, I agree with you. I think Trump, if this little guy in North Korea decides that he's going to show up Trump, I think Trump will react to him quite differently than he's probably expecting. Trump is going to win this PR battle with this guy one way or the other, Bill.
Yes, I hope also that he is out active every day winning it because
yes.
he can win it. He can win it. He is facing a hostile press, but he is also facing a Democratic Party that incredibly doesn't seem to have any positions on anything. Their position is we are against anything Trump does.
Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, we used to think that the Iran nuclear deal was a bad deal until Trump decided to kill it. Now it's a great deal. I mean, Schumer, for example, is that way. Nancy Pelosi is that way. But I want to go to a story. You mentioned the media. And this story of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, I mean, obviously there was a lot of good news that came out of that. But the way the media covered the violence, it was just pathetic. I mean, you would have thought that the Israelis were, you know, lining up people for the purpose of creating a demonstration. I mean, this was all done by the other side, and they killed a bunch of people doing what they did, Bill.
They killed a bunch of their own people.
Yes.
Which doesn't bother them. No, and also what I thought was absolutely outrageous was when we opened our embassy in Jerusalem, the networks took glee in running a split screen showing the opening of the embassy on one part and the violence which Hamas openly admitted they had started. They had bragged about it and bragged about the number of their operatives who were killed on the other side, as if here were these peaceful American conservatives opening the embassy, which is illegitimate, of course, and here were these wonderful Palestinians processing the fact that they're being kept in an Israeli prison. They're not being kept in an Israeli prison. And by the way, the Hamas operatives who run the Gaza Strip were turning down Israeli medical aid at this time. And what is so pathetic also is something else. Whether you agree or disagree with moving the embassy to Jerusalem, and that is a fair discussion to have,
sure.
This was an important moment for not only Jews, but for Christians as well. Jerusalem is a city with an enormous Christian and Jewish heritage. It wasn't mentioned once. If it was Muslim heritage, they'd be out. And I'm fine. I'm happy to discuss the Muslim heritage in Jerusalem. Perfectly fair. But in terms of history, the Muslims, without any disrespect at all, are basically newcomers. The Jewish and Christian heritage goes back much further and is much more important to those religions. Jerusalem is part of the Jewish religion. Zion means Jerusalem. The Christian religion focuses on events that occurred in Jerusalem, such as the crucifixion.
And, that's right. And this is, I think, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was going to say something.
Ahead.
I think this is the reason that I think a lot of, you know, Christian groups in the United States were happy with this decision to put the embassy there. And my feeling is that the country gets to decide where the capital is. I mean, if they say the capital is Jerusalem, well, that's your diplomatic capital, Bill, period. There's no more discussion. If the United States says Washington and Germany wants to put an embassy in Miami, well, that's stupid. And so, to me, that's putting the embassy in Jerusalem is just sensible, common sense, Bill.
That is absolutely correct. And also, the fact is they opened the embassy in the western part of Jerusalem, which has always been part of Israel. So I don't know what the objection really is. And again, the European Union lectured us on this. I think we ought to take our leave of the European Union, just as the British voted to get out of the EU. I think maybe it's time that we are not in the EU, but we have diplomatic relationships with them. I think we should have our diplomatic relationships with NATO and with the individual European countries and forget the EU and let them stew in their own juice.
Well, it's not a bad idea because, frankly, the EU has been taken over by people who are hostile to the United States, unless, of course, we have a weak president like the previous one. And I just think you're right. I think it's time to move on. But I thought it was interesting. Professor Dershowitz, was saying how he was offended that the media was calling these people throwing stones and bombs to the Israeli soldiers. They were calling them civil rights marchers.
Yes.
I mean,
come on. That's right.
You know, civil rights.
And I think the American people get it.
I think they get it when
the news film shows Molotov cocktails being thrown over the border, and as you said, the reporter saying, "Well, it's a sit-in. It's a sit-in. You see, it's a peaceful demonstration of the frustration of the people of Gaza." And also, anybody who looks at a map knows that most of the Gaza borders on Egypt, not on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there wasn't one word of Egypt mentioned. I've noticed a trend, by the way, in the press, not only on this story but on others, and it's that the press is now, some elements of the press are now going full Soviet. In other words, what they do is erase people and things from history, rather than making any kind of an argument. People just don't exist. You see it in that. I mean, Hamas? What Hamas? We don't know of any organ. Are they in the phone book? Maybe it's a new organic food store. Yes, it sounds like that. Hamas. Yes.
Yeah, it's like a new Facebook music page called Hamas.
Exactly. And they just erase people from history. They erase events from history. You'll notice that one thing, you deal with the Iran nuclear deal, and you never hear the people on television mentioning the name Barack Obama. He's the one responsible for this mess and for getting us into it. Occasionally they will mention it, but he is now being taken. Any unpleasant history, well, he wasn't there. In fact, he was having ice cream in Hawaii. How can you blame him? You know?
That's exactly right. He was not around that day. They made all these decisions. You know, he was out, doing something, but he was not around. But in fact, we're going to talk a little bit about this when we get into this FBI story, because his whole presidency is starting to really look very shallow now, with all these executive agreements that are coming undone by President Trump, and now this new FBI story. But let me take a quick break, Bill, and then when we come back, we will get into a lot of President Obama and the FBI and the investigations and so on.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have all of that on the show information. So if you want to find out where Carlos is playing any day this week, just go to the little link that we have right there. He's playing all over town and having a lot of success doing it. Let's get back to our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. Bill, your last point about they don't mention President Obama much these days. There was an article by a person from the left who was saying that his presidency is basically falling apart, or not falling apart, I said that, but I mean it's becoming almost like a blank page, because so much of his resume was made up of executive agreements that are being crossed out by President Trump, and one of them, of course, is the Iran nuclear deal. And something else, too, that frustrates me when they talk about the Iran nuclear deal or when the media talks about it is, they never explain. They call it an agreement, but it's not really an agreement, Bill. Presidents cannot do these things. They don't have the authority to sign agreements with other countries. I mean, they can agree to, or they can sign an understanding, but it never an agreement that binds the United States, and that never gets explained, Bill.
Of course. Well, that is exactly right. And if you remember, when the Iran nuclear agreement was made, this was discussed. And thoughtful commentators were saying, look, this is not an agreement between the United States and Iran. It is an executive order, and it ends when the Obama administration ends, unless the new president wishes to continue it. And it was brought up, but it was not taken seriously. And the reason, and here again, we, you know, to extend what you just said, notice there are no discussions as to why it isn't a treaty. Mm-hmm. Now, I have not heard one. It isn't a treaty because Obama had almost no support in the U.S. Senate for it. I mean, he would have needed two-thirds. He would have not gotten one Republican vote. Many Democrats voted against procedural motions regarding this. But it never came to vote as a treaty. All arms control agreements are treaties. They have to be. They're that important.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
when people say, we have broken our word, we never gave our word. Our word is the word of one president and only applied to his administration. And I think Americans do get it. I think Americans are listening more closely than the press thinks. You know, one of the things that the press constantly does is it underestimates the intelligence of the American people. They're still trying to figure out why Trump won. I mean, it's just amazing. And Hillary is out. I mean, did you see her speech at Yale?
That is pathetic.
It's all about me, me, me. She sounded like Evita. You know, don't cry for me.
That's right,
I mean,
yeah.
As if anybody really cares.
That's right. Well, the only difference is that at least Evita was charming. That is, you know, Evita was actually a very charming, beautiful woman who, whether you liked her, I mean, I remember my father talking to me about Evita in the late 40s when she died, I think, in 52 or 53 at a very young age. But when she was on top of her game, as they say, my father used to say that people would literally, when the newsreels came on at the movie house, about Evita, people would actually stop and watch her. She was so charming and so beautiful. And that obviously, that's not the case of Hillary Clinton. She's the exact opposite of that, Bill.
Yes. Oh my God. I mean, it's just, you know, if she would say, look, and she does, I will acknowledge that she does say she made a lot of mistakes, and
sure.
then proceeds to talk about how badly she feels. Me. You know, if she would make a policy speech, and say, these are the things I believe. And also, if she would say something favorable about Trump, what she should tell students is, if he does something well, you praise him. And she should also, if she were to say, for example, I do not like the attacks on his family. Because they know that they know the Trumps. Okay, they're opponents now. But these comments about Ivanka Trump, some of them. I mean, who do these journalists think they are? If she would say something like that, she would find she'd get a good public reaction. But she
doesn't.
Right,
and something she doesn't. And I actually, you know, see, I happen to be one of those who, I don't think she was herself crazy about this Iran nuclear deal. Now, it was done
no.
by Secretary Kerry, but so she had nothing directly to do with it. My gut feeling, and I cannot prove this, is that she was not crazy about the deal either. And that had she been in the Senate, especially a senator from New York, I don't think she would have voted for this. And so for her to come out right now and talk about the deal the way she's talking, she's not even being honest. I mean, because I think she would have opposed the deal as it was presented 5 or 4 years ago, whenever it was, Bill.
Well, that's true. You know, the funny thing about her is if she had more sense politically, if she had more strength politically, she actually, on national security issues, had a very good reputation in the military and the national security establishment, that she took it very seriously. But when she ran for president, she never mentioned it. And she never mentioned it because, first of all, she had to defend Obama. She needed his support. But also, the Democratic Party wasn't interested in national security. It just wasn't. I mean, the party had already gone so far to the left. I mean, this is a party whose state convention in California booed Dianne Feinstein, who had been the matriarch of that party. Booed her. I don't care if you want to say, okay, Dianne, it's time to leave. We have, you know, we're moving on. That's fine. You can say to somebody, you know, we'd like to have a new generation. But to boo her at a state convention? I mean, this woman actually, even though I disagree with her on many, many things, but she's always conducted herself well. She has always been a dignified senator. You don't do that, but they are. This is a very rough bunch. It really is.
It really is, and they're not helping themselves either. I don't mean in California, but in the rest of the country, Bill. They're not helping themselves doing some of the things they're doing. Like now they're providing... I just saw the news. They're providing free health care to, or not free health care, but I guess they're allowing immigrants to participate in, or illegal immigrants to participate in their health care, whatever. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense given all the economic problems they have, Bill.
That is absolutely correct. And now that apparently is a proposal that the illegal immigrants be allowed to participate fully. What is also interesting, by the way, and this is a column I read, I think it was a Fox column on their website, I wish I remembered the name of the author. I did not recognize it, but it was an excellent column saying that one of the reasons the Democratic Party is now so cordial toward illegal immigrants is they are fearful of losing part of the black vote. Apparently there are polls in the black community, especially among young black males, who are very taken with Donald Trump. And the Kanye West thing, there was a story yesterday that Obama has been asking hip-hop artists to restrain Kanye West and to prevent hip-hop artists from meeting with the president. They're frightened because they know if they lose 15% of the black vote, they may never win another national election. So they're
mm-hmm.
hoping to replace African Americans and also Hispanic voters who defect from the Democratic Party with illegal immigrants, former prisoners who they now want to give the vote to, 16-year-olds. I mean, if you look at the proposals, it's basically
yeah.
you're going to have a party made up of former criminals, 16-year-old high school kids, and assorted illiterates.
That's right. Well, but this is not a very – it doesn't sound like a very confident party when you have to do stuff
no.
like that. It doesn't sound like a party that is very confident. I mean, when you have to engage in these – I have also heard, and again, I don't have any polling evidence, but just from talking to people, that there are frictions within the black community about illegal immigration, that a lot of blacks –
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, that this is not a, you know, the blacks are not all in on illegal immigration. And I think during the Obama presidency, I think what's happening with the black population is that during the Obama presidency, there was a sense of, well, we cannot criticize the first black president. Even if he doesn't do anything, we cannot criticize him because he's the first black president. And I understand that to a point, honestly. I understand that to a point because the first black president was a source of great pride, if you will, for the community. I mean, a lot of them probably never thought they would see it in their lives. So I can understand it to a point. But now that Obama is gone, the problems are still here, and I think that's what you may be seeing coming to the surface is opposition to illegal immigration, opposition to some of these policies, and communities are not working, the schools not working. So I think all of it may be coming out for that reason, Bill.
I think that's true. You have a Democratic Party today. The press, of course, wants to emphasize the splits in the Republican Party, and they are very
sure.
real. They always have been. But the Democratic Party today is really a weird organization. I mean, look who their chairman is, Tom Perez, who curses in front of children. That's a wonderful thing. They do very well. And their vice chairman is Ellison. From Keith Ellison from Minnesota, who is a Muslim, which is fine, but who had one time been associated with the Nation of Islam, who marched in a Cinco de Mayo parade in Minnesota with a sweatshirt in Spanish
right.
saying, "I don't believe in borders."
Right.
I mean, boy, there's a campaign slogan for you. Try that
that's
one in
right.
Nebraska.
Yeah, that's right. Well, try that anywhere. Even
yes.
in Minnesota, I mean that in some parts of Minnesota that wouldn't fly, well. But Bill, one of the stories that we're seeing is with the FBI and the Trump campaign, and I don't know all the details because not everything is out. But it does look to me like the FBI was trying to get into the Trump campaign in a way to make Trump look bad. Now, if their reason to get in, and let me give the FBI a little benefit of the doubt, if the reason to get in was because they were concerned about Russian influence, then I think what the director should have done is call in both campaigns and confidentially say, look, we have this information. We believe the Russians could be trying to hurt our country. So we're putting both campaigns on notice that we're going to be investigating this and may actually have people in your campaign associated with it. Had they done it that way, I'm more comfortable with that. But they didn't do it to Hillary Clinton. They did it all to Donald Trump. And I think that's very troubling, Bill. I mean, that is really a bad deal if this is as bad as I think it is.
Well, there are a lot of bad deals around, you know. And what is going on in Washington now in terms of investigations is that the tone of the investigations is shifting, and that is that I think the Democrats thought when they started this when Mueller started his investigation, which actually was a Republican move and a blunder by the Attorney General, that everything was going to be hunky dory for them, and they the word impeachment was used every second sentence. Now there are new questions being asked from the other side. And suddenly there is discomfort. I mean, you know there's discomfort in the Democratic Party when CNN goes on the air with a look of panic And says, we don't see any evidence here of anything wrong with what Obama did in terms of the FBI. We saw nothing. We saw absolutely nothing. There were just nice people in suits asking questions to protect the country and to protect Donald Trump. I mean, you know, at what point do you start laughing?
Well, I think a lot of people did probably did laugh when they heard that. And my sense has always been that if they were concerned about the Russia, and by the way, I'll just say one thing here, that the reason that I was concerned about Russia interfering in our elections was not because they were going to change our elections. I mean, I never took seriously the idea that the Russians could impact an American election for lots of reasons. The fact that they're so decentralized and you basically have 50 elections happening in the same day on that night makes it very difficult for the Russians to intervene. But what I was more concerned about, Bill, was trying to learn what their tactics are, because the Russians could, in fact, influence an election in Mexico or in Colombia, where they're having elections this year, or in other countries where they may not be capable of protection like we are. And so that was my interest in this whole thing, trying to see what the Russians were doing and maybe what we can learn from it and maybe pass it along to friendly countries, Bill. I mean, it was never because I thought that they elected Donald Trump, Bill.
Right. Well, you know, it's if you look around right now at what is happening in this country, around the world, I get the sense that there is a sense almost of shock that they are finding out that Donald Trump is a serious president. You know, I mean, what this man is actually doing things seriously? He's actually conducting the negotiation with North Korea. It's like a cultural shock that this isn't what they were told. This isn't what they believed. And I think many people who have made deals with the United States, trade deals and things like that, are suddenly recognizing that the way they put things over on Obama will not last again. In fact, somebody in the European Union was saying that we are fearful that this is the new American reality. Well, let them be fearful, you know?
That's right. Let them be fearful. And some of the insanity this week with President Trump, Bill, when he made that comment about MS-13, and
yes.
Next you hear is that, you know, he's talking about illegal immigrants. Even a friend of mine in Mexico who I was having a chat with for a couple of minutes said, why is Trump saying that about illegal immigrants? And I said, well, he's not. He was talking about MS-13. And he goes, oh, really? The way it was reported. And so to me, that is not just bad journalism. That may be a little desperate journalism, Bill.
Very much so. Desperation is the name of the game. And I think what you were referring to before, that there was a Democratic Party operative, I think that you were referring to Mark Penn, who said
Yes,
that the Democratic Party is becoming desperate. It is becoming desperate. Well, look who they're suggesting as their possible candidates for president. I mean, Joe Biden, nice man, decent man, but they'll have to tell Joe there's an election, you know? And they'll have to tell him where that it's going to be held this year, and if you want to participate, you have to sign your name to a form. And,
right.
And Joe will say, oh, yes, I remember that. And Kamala Harris, have you ever seen Kamala Harris at a congressional hearing? I mean, this is like watching Attila the Hun. Everything to her is a courtroom, and
right.
She sounds like the prosecutor, and
right.
It is embarrassing. They will have to restrain her, and they will have to give her. They'll have to show her old tapes of Mr. Rogers to show her
right.
how to act softly.
Well, I think she's rewriting the story of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, you know.
That's exactly
she's
right.
She's kind of rewriting it, but at least, you know, Mr. Smith was a nice guy.
Yes,
but she's not.
Right.
She's not a very nice person.
No,
but it's
she's...
interesting, you mentioned Kamala Harris, and this last week, talking about the Democrats, her former, I don't know if she was her former husband, or I don't know her relationship to Willie Brown.
Willie Brown. Boyfriend.
Okay, the boyfriend, okay. Her steady, as I think they used to call it in California.
Yeah.
He came out with an article criticizing the Democrats saying, you guys need to understand that maybe he's a lot more popular, meaning Trump, than you think he is.
Yeah.
And a lot of what he's saying about immigration and trade policies actually registers with people. I thought it was fascinating for Willie Brown to say that, Bill.
It was. Willie Brown is a very shrewd California politician. He was also mayor of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, he dated Kamala Harris.
Who is?
I mean, as a date, I'm sure. Look, she's a very attractive woman. And,
I'm sure she is,
And before she opens her
mouth. As long
as
she's not talking, she's very attractive.
That's the point. he said to the Democratic Party, "But you got to grow up a little bit, and you've got to fight. You have to have a program. You have to have things that are attractive to people." And I think he is right that Trump is more attractive than to people. Look, we all know what we got. He's a crude man. He's a man. We talked about it many times. My enthusiasm for him was very limited. But the fact of the matter is, people have put that aside because they see urgency in some of our national problems, and they see him as a man who could possibly solve them. And, you know, it's like, I think we may have even discussed this last week, the comparison being made of with the Ulysses S. Grant when Lincoln was told that Grant was a drunkard, he said, "Well, whatever he drinks, send him a case." He said, "This man fights," and I think that is the attitude of the American people. This man fights.
Well, he's picking. I mean, the Democrats seem to be picking all the wrong battles. I mean, if you're going to get into an argument with how President Trump describes people, do you really want to be angry how he described MS-13? I mean, MS-13. Anybody with a brain knows that MS-13 is a horrific organization, kills people. I mean, there's no room for MS-13. So if you're going to pick a fight with Trump as to how he talks, and I agree with you, sometimes he could, you know, he's not very diplomatic. There's a lot of things that he says that I don't like how he says them. But my goodness, if he calls MS-13 animals, I wouldn't argue that, Bill.
That's exactly right. Well, and that's what the president said after the press misreported the story intentionally. It said, you know, that's, I will do it again, and I will call them animals again. And that's one of the things people like about Trump. He doesn't back down. And this man fights. So they want him to fight the battles. Now, one thing we should point out, by the way, is that his claim to fame right now is that he is a good steward of the economy. And that is what people expect of him. There's one issue we really at some point should mention, and that is rising gasoline prices. Because those are things that people feel at, in their own budgets, and he is going to have to address this soon. The prices are going up. I've noticed it, and I think a lot of other people have noticed it. They're hovering a little under $3. If they hit $3 nationally, I think it's going to be the press will make it a major story and say, "Well, Mr. Trump, what have you done about this?" Now, if truth be told, there has been a lot of harassment of the oil industry over fracking. There are a lot of we have an infrastructure shortage in our energy supply, especially in places like Texas, where they don't have enough pipelines, and OPEC is not being cooperative. So he is going to have to address that, and I think he will address it and address it very well. But that's going to have to come soon. I think that the anti-Trump press is probably waiting for the summer driving season.
That's right. But I think that from what we remember in past summer drive seasons, I think $4 is kind of the breaking point, as I remember. I mean, when it hits $4, the average, that's when people really start getting angry. I've also heard the argument, you know, when people are working, that maybe $3 doesn't hurt as much as when the economy is down. So
that's right.
But I think you're right. I think he's got to address the problem and turn it back on the Democrats, as he often does so well. But nevertheless, Bill, he is getting credit. The polling data shows that he's getting credit for the economy, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why he stands. He's maybe at 50%, and also why I think the hopes of the GOP are better now than they were 6 months ago, at least when it comes to the midterms. I mean, the what they call the generic poll is very much within the margin of error, which is good news for the GOP. And on the Senate side, one of the consequences of these primaries is that the Republicans have actually nominated very good people. We're not going to have the problem we had in Indiana or in Missouri where we nominated idiots. We're going to nominate really strong candidates who I think will give these red state Democrats a real fight for the election, Bill.
Oh, I think so. Now, the Republican Party has also got to watch internal problems during
yes.
this period, because they come up with it. We now have an unexpected problem in West Virginia where this idiot Blankenship
who
ran and who got soundly beaten after President Trump made clear what he thought of him, now is trying to start a third party. And that could make it impossible for the Republicans to win. This man's ego is completely out of control. And you get these people. You know, let's not forget that the reason that Bill Clinton won the 1992 presidential election was the presence of Ross Perot. Another egomaniac who has now disappeared. I don't know where he is.
Yeah, but, it's incredible. Nobody sees Ross. Now he's probably retired and not real.
Yeah.
But you're right. Nobody. He doesn't have anything to say about politics anymore. But that's also what happened in Montana. That's the reason why Tester was elected in 2012, because
yes.
there was a third-party candidate. So I don't know. This thing in West Virginia is interesting, because a lot of people in West Virginia think this guy's a clown. And
yes.
hopefully, if you can keep him within 2 or 3 percentage points, maybe it won't. But if he gets up to 10, then I think that helps Manchin a great deal.
I think that Manchin made a calculated mistake when he did not do what a lot of people expected him to do, which was to switch parties. Had he switched
yes.
parties, he'd have a job for the rest of his life.
Oh, I agree.
And
he
I
could have done
why.
With the governor. The governor of West Virginia switched parties, and he got
yes.
away with it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So he could have done it very easily.
And another
if
one
anybody in the world had a good reason for switching parties, it's got to be a Democrat from West Virginia, Bill.
Oh, absolutely. Trump won West Virginia by something like 30 points.
Right,
and
right.
And another one there were rumors that she would switch parties was Heidi Heitkamp.
Yeah, Heitkamp or whatever. Yeah.
Yes, from Dakota. And had she switched parties, she wouldn't have a problem on her hands. But they didn't. They remained loyal to the Democratic Party. But in the Democratic Party, they have no use for moderates. You know,
no.
if there was a place for them, that would be, they would stay, and you say there's a reason for them staying. But there are moderate Democrats. In fact, there are moderate Democrats winning elections. They seem to be the ones really winning when the Democrats win. But the Democratic Party nationally has no use for them. They immediately put pressure on them to, you know, join the full fold, go complete Soviet, you know, give them a little hat with a red star on it.
Right.
And I would imagine that a lot of Democrats are waiting to see how this election turns out. It
mm-hmm.
may turn out well for them. They may even take the House. But I don't think so. And I think they're
yeah.
going to see there is no future in the fringe left.
I agree with you. And I would suggest to Senator Manchin that if he were to win a three-way race with a plurality, which he could do, then maybe he should switch parties. And say I'm becoming a Republican and I'm not going through this again, you know, these battles, because it really makes no sense for West Virginia to have a Democrat senator. I mean, it really makes no sense, Bill, for me. I don't
That's
see
right.
how he justifies that whatsoever. Wanted to ask you a quick question before we look at next week. We had a terrible shooting, as you know, down here in Texas. But
oh,
isn't
yeah.
it interesting the reaction? You don't see anybody running to the microphones blaming it on the NRA, none of the students, none of the parents. I thought very interesting that reaction, Bill.
Yes, and I think that maybe people are now on to the racket of trying
mm-hmm.
to blame the NRA for shootings.
Yes.
And yet there are still some out there, as you well know, who, I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the former Democratic National Chair, who is really somebody who should see a doctor. I mean,
yes.
she really is. She could be in the same waiting room with Hillary. But, I mean, she calls the NRA next to a terrorist organization. You know,
oh,
if you're going to criticize the NRA, there are things you can legitimately criticize.
Sure.
But why go crazy? Why go crazy and make a complete fool of yourself when you can be perfectly content making just half a fool of yourself and doing other things? They must be very secure in their districts, or they must really buy into this stuff. And there was somebody who said that the former Secretary of Education under
oh
Obama
yes
saying
he wants people to skip
students
school?
Should stay home from school until
That's
there's
right.
gun control. Well, they will be staying home for about the next
for a long
50
time.
Years. A long
yes.
time. Maybe at home they can read some good books.
And that's right. Well, you know, that might be one of those cases. Be careful what you wish for, because you may get it.
That's exactly
because
right.
You might get a lot of homeschooling parents out of that recommendation. And you may get a lot of parents who realize that maybe we should take them out of public schools and put them in a Christian school or a religious school or maybe even homeschooling. Bill, as we look at next week, I guess the next time we chat, we'll know who Governor Abbott will be running against here in Texas. But lots of things going on in Washington. This thing with the FBI, I just feel like some bad things are going to be popping into the news, Bill.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll be following that. And following very much, by the way, the Korean situation, because the summit is scheduled for just a few weeks from now. And let's see what actually happens. I have a feeling that Trump will pull it out and make a dramatic last midnight flight to Singapore in the interest of peace. And the press will complain that they had to get up early.
Right.
And that it interfered with their yoga regimen.
Yeah, the press will complain that they had to make a plane change in Hamburg or something.
Yes,
and
that's
that
right.
They didn't get to fly on direct on Air Force One or something like that.
Well, that's correct. So there's quite a bit to follow. And
sure.
Also, I can't wait for Hillary Clinton's next commencement address. I mean, I want to hear about the inner Hillary and what she's going through.
Yes, I think all of us are really into the inner Hillary. It's become... It's become a joke, and I wish somebody in her family would talk to her and say, Hillary, it's time to hang it up. I mean, and say, Hillary, it's time to put it away. You know, you had your chance. It's over. It's over. It's over. You know, we'll give you a nice little spot at the convention in 2020, but that's it, Hillary. It's over.
I think so.
Yes, Bill. Have a great week. Happy Memorial Day and weekend. And we'll chat again next week and try to explain it all like we tried.
We will explain the entire thing to the American people, definitely.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
We have, as they say, we have all the answers, you know, so we've got it all under control. That's right. Have a great week, Bill.
Thank you, Sylvia. Same to you.
All right. Thank you so much. Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda. You know, we call it the Week in Review. And it seems like every week we have a lot more and more to review. It's just fascinating times that we are living, just absolutely fascinating times. North Korea, the Trump presidency, now the stories about the FBI. I mean, I think that's going to be huge. Have a wonderful Tuesday, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.